The next one is one of the most critical ones on the list. So, Chris.
Yes.
You're a trainer.
Yes.
How do you know when somebody in the training, like a trainer, is doing a good job? So, in other words, how do you know when somebody doing your kind of job is doing a good job? So if I ask a Damon, I'd say, when he was doing more of his insurance work, I'd say, how do you know somebody's a good insurance agent? Mm-hmm. How do you know somebody's doing a good job?
As
a trainer.
As a trainer, I know that they're holding the group's attention well. They're teaching people practical skills that they can actually go out and duplicate in the real world. When the participants leave, they feel smart, they feel confident, they have a sense that they can do it, and they're gaining that experience from the trainer, that the trainer's got great state management, they're animated.
Okay, so you've got all these kind of criteria and evidence procedures. Mm-hmm. If you were witnessing them doing the training, mm-hmm. How many times would you need to see that? How would you know? By the way, how did she know? So we don't know quite yet, because we want to find out what's her mode of thinking. So how would you know they could do all those things?
Because I would see it.
You'd see it. And would you need to see, how many times would you need to see them training to be convinced they could actually do it? Would it be once, twice, 5, 10, 50?
Once.
Once, and you saw mm-hmm. them train really well?
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be across time. Would mm-hmm. you need to see them do it over a period of mm-hmm. weeks or months or years?
Mm-hmm. I think if I saw somebody once over a 3-day weekend, I would have a good sense, or even just in one day, I would have a good sense.
If they were ready to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the question is here, how do you know when somebody's doing well at the same kind of work you do? Ask that question, and then just say, how specifically would you know that they were doing that? And what we want to sort for is, what modality are they using? Is it something they see? Are they watching the person? Are they hearing it? Are they experiencing it with them? How do they know? What's the mode? And then how many times or over time, how many times would they need to see it, or how would they get it over time? So go ahead and ask that question of your partner. This was a little more complicated question. Do y'all get the questions? Okay, let me demonstrate it one more time.
Okay.
So just answer it. Chris will abbreviate her answer this time. So how do you know when somebody's doing the same kind of job you do well?
I see him doing a really good job in terms of...
Okay, I've already got it. She sees him. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how many times would you need to, or would you need to do it over time?
Typically just once,
okay,
and I'm
good.
Convinced.
That's all I need to know. I've already got it. She sees him once, she's convinced she can... That's her convincer strategy. So go ahead and ask your partner. So this is called the convincer strategy.
And again, these can be contextual, like all of them.
Convincer strategy. When are you convinced about something? When are you willing to move on it? When are you willing to act on it? When do you believe it? And there are different categories. And first of all, what modality do you need to get it in order to believe it? There's an old saying, seeing is believing, right? So sometimes you need to see it. If you don't see it, how many of you heard about something? It would be okay, but it wouldn't necessarily convince you. Now, there could be degrees of that. If somebody really trusted who knew you well said, you're going to love this, you might be more likely to buy it than somebody you didn't know well. But in general, how many of you need to really see it yourself to know that that's the case? How many of you need to hear it? Somebody say it?
If you say it, then you see it.
Sometimes people need to do both. You need to hear it and hear people talking about it and see it. How many need to do it with somebody? Like actually, now maybe changed by context. If I said, how do you know somebody's good at anchoring? What would you say? How many of you would have to see it? You need to see somebody come into a state and they anchor it and test it and then you go. How many times would you need to see it? Three for you? Once?
Once.
So get a sense of that. Three. What if I said, well, so-and-so will be joining us tomorrow, and don't worry about their skills. I mean, you're hearing it, but Well, you knew about them as they were coming in, they're already a master practitioner. How many would just assume they could do it? They could anchor. That's called automatic. I automatically assume that. I wouldn't need to do it that way. How about you? If you read it, if you read an article that somebody about somebody, and how many would need the article to really believe it? Depending on who wrote the article. Claire?
Communication with texts, like, because in business today, a lot of times when I was working in Asia, we were in a lot of different countries. And so sometimes communicating wasn't, you couldn't talk on the phone, it was on, you have text or IM on your computer.
So you're texting on your...
On your computer, you'd have a chat box,
right.
And you would be talking to them, so you'd be seeing them. But you had to get a lot of credibility and a lot of communication out of that text. So what is that seeing, or is
that'd
it
be a
reading, or is that, what is that? Because it's very common now.
It's hearing.
That's an interesting question, because it's almost like hearing, too.
Yeah.
Because what they're saying, it's just that you're reading what they're saying.
It's very conversational.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information there, but you're looking at it.
I think it's a conversation more than anything. You're reading it, but it's still like a conversation. The problem is there's no tonality to it. So problem with reading stuff is you...
Emoticons.
Yeah, emoticons. LOL, right? Happy face.
Yeah.
I think it'd be more conversation. And that's kind of a unique context, too.
Yeah. I ran into that a lot, and you have to read a lot into it, or you have to. But maybe it's contextual because you know the person.
Yeah, well, or you get the text, and I say, well, so what did Fred say about this? I wouldn't say, what does it look like?
Okay.
Now, the other one is do with. Sometimes you say, well, I don't know if somebody could really anchor unless they anchored me. If they'd anchor me and I had the inner experience of that, then I'd be totally convinced they could do it. They did it, you know, systematically. So we have see, hear, do, read. And then, yes?
Well, one thing we noticed was that it's a sequence. I mean, like before we were doing strategies, mm-hmm. it wasn't just one. It was that I see it and then I have a feeling about it and then I may need to hear it. For both of us, it's...
Well, if you can't see it, would you get the feeling?
Well,
that's kind of a decision strategy. You just went,
well, you might,
VKA.
If you can see it, then it may come in by hearing it. There's an order.
So, but the question is, how do you know somebody's doing a good job? Your job.
Say that again.
So I would say, Gary, how do you know somebody's doing the job just like yours and they're doing it well? How would you know?
Well, I see it, and then I get a feeling from
that. Okay, so you'd see it.
Yeah.
What if you couldn't see it, but you just heard it?
I'd hear it, and
then
I'd
by the way,
that.
Okay, great. So what you're saying is you'll see the vision, that gives you the feeling of confirmation.
Right.
But it's really about the seeing. If you don't see it, there's no image of it. There's no way to get the feeling of it.
Right.
Right? If I said, okay, get the feeling, and then see it. It's not going to happen. It's wrong syntax. So the convincer would probably be visual. And then the feeling you get is just the confirmation feeling. If you think about vision, vision's good for detail, for all kinds of information. Feelings are usually good for evaluation, confirming it. So if I see it, if you saw me doing a really sloppy job of doing what you do, you'd see it, and then you get a feeling like, yeah, he can't do it, right? So that would be part of your decision strategy, which are always chunked into three parts, VKA, visual, kinesthetic, auditory. That's, yours, what you've said. But anyway, so it's going to be visual modality. Some people won't believe it unless they read it. I know people are saying that they won't believe like certain processes work unless they've seen a research project, you know, evidence-based proof that the thing works. And unfortunately, if everybody believed that, we would never have innovation, right? So, does that make sense to everybody, this convincer? So some people have it a number of times. They have to see it once or twice or five times or 10 times or through time. Now, this number of times when, again, there's automatic, I just assume it. Mm-hmm. And the thing about automatic, if you automatically assume something about somebody and they violate it, you probably won't trust them very easily again. So if somebody says, oh, don't worry, they're a master practitioner, you go, well, they can anchor, and then they come in and they can't, you probably go, oh, you know, I'm not going to trust that person to be very good at anything with being a master practitioner. Second one is consistent. Consistent means you have to consistently experience it over and over again. I could say it's not once or twice or three times or five times, it's forever. And finally, there's some period of time, you know. But consistent is you need constant reassurance. Some of the obvious ones in here, think the context of being in love with somebody. I said, how would you be convinced somebody that somebody loved you or not? You're in a relationship, how would you know they loved you? Would it be something you saw, something you heard, or something you experienced? What if you're with somebody and they show you in a lot of ways they care, they do things, and then they kind of are kinesthetic with you, they hug and touch and they want to do things with you, but they don't ever say it. How many of you would be questioning their love? I mean, so some of you need to hear it to be convinced.
I had a client that I worked with, and this was a big issue between she and her boyfriend, because her convincer strategy was that she needed to hear that he loved her. And he just never told her. And for him, his way is he would show it. And literally that one mismatch ended up destroying their relationship in the end. So because she just, you know, for whatever reason, wasn't able to change it. And these things sometimes can be really hardwired.
So this would look, see all the ways I show it. She's saying, I need to hear it. And he can be automatic and say, well, I married you. Why should I have to do anything else? That's proof, isn't it? You can assume I love you. I'd probably be doing things, but once, if I made that commitment, it's a done deal. That'd be automatic. Consistent would be, do you still love me? You haven't told me for 10 minutes.
Well, of course I do.
Do you really love me?
I do. Oh. I love you.
So I might be asking for reassurance all the time.
And this is something I know about Tim, is he needs to be told at least 3 times a day, so it's cute.
So that's... Not every 10 minutes. What's that? Oh, thanks. So...
Pardon? I haven't, no.
There's a very popular book by a researcher at the University of Washington, and John Gottfried, who studied married couples for 30 years.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
He wrote this big book, The Five Love Languages, which is all about this.
He talks about the same kind of thing.
They receive love based on how they're brought up in different ways. Some people need to hear it, some people see the acts of service, or whatever.
So a guy basically wrote a book all about just this one meta program. It's amazing how deep you can go with each one of these.
Yeah, that would just be in the context of love, because it's kind of a common one for people to mismatch or not, you know. He just needs to hear it, and she needs to see some proof of it. And so if that mismatch is going on, that could be a big deal in a relationship.
By the way, with my client, my sense was there was so much else underneath the bridge, so it wasn't just that, but that was what opened the door to the end for her. So,
how many of you need to read it? Somebody needs to send you little love notes and stuff. Maybe you have that? It really helps. Okay. So, convincer strategies. We have a colleague named Don Aspromonte, and he's really done a tremendous amount with this lab profile in the area of sales. He goes around the country and trains sales teams on how to profile potential customers and stuff. And he went into a company, and the first thing they wanted to do was profile everybody in the group so that they would know what their profile was. The goal was they wanted to profile, especially, they had two performers that were really hot salespeople. I mean, their sales were way beyond everybody else's. So he profiled them first. He got their meta programs. Then he profiled everybody else. He got down to the last person he was going to profile on the list. And the sales manager came in and said, you know, you don't need to profile her because we're probably going to let her go. He said, really, why? And he said, the sales manager said, well, she's just not performing. You know, it's weird because she came in and she had a good track record, but she's not doing the job properly. And Don said, well, she's waiting in there, and I I've got the time. Why don't I just go ahead and do the profile? It'll take me 15 minutes, and it'll tell you who won't be successful here. So he went in and he did her profile, and what he found was her profile was almost exactly the same as the two highest performers, who were almost identical, except one thing, and it was this convincer. And her convincer was she needed to do something with somebody once to know she could do it. And so he went in and he said to the sales manager, Don asked the sales manager, he said, have you ever gone out on a sale with her? And he said, no. And he said, has anyone else done that? And he said, no. And he said, well, go out on a sale with her, do it with her, where you work together or she gets to witness you doing it, and see what happens. So he did, and her performance jumped dramatically. Because now she was convinced she could do it. But before that, she was still, I don't know if I can really pull this off. And so sometimes those things make a huge difference. With people. So how do you know you can do something? I've had people that I've seen in the world of NLP, they show up at almost every training and they're never convinced they can do anything with it. And sometimes their skills are really pretty good. But they lack confidence. But somehow their convincer strategy hasn't been acknowledged. Questions about this one? Does it make sense? Yes?
So for you to be able to tell if you're going to be able to do it versus for you to be able to tell if another person will be able to do it. Because for me, like, for me to know that I'm going to be able to do it, I need to do it myself. But to know if another person can do it, I just have to watch them.
Yeah, this question is directed at the other person, but you can apply it to yourself too. Yes, good point.
Your strategy can change?
Sorry? This can change?
Yeah, it can change.
Oh. Yeah, and it will change by context.
Yeah, they can definitely change, and even if you have one that you would like to change, you can do that. I had a client who was really externally referenced, and this was a different one from the one I spoke about earlier. And she knew this about herself. She had taken the practitioner training, and that's when she realized going through these meta programs that she was so externally referenced that it was hurting her in a lot of ways. And so with some coaching, we were able to get her to start being more internally referenced in many different contexts. And then she started having more of a sense of self-confidence when she went through life, where before she was always relying on what other people thought about her. And she learned to be more internally referenced in terms of what she thought about herself, and that really helped her be more confident, opened up a lot of doors for her in the professional world. So you can change these.
Yeah, you can definitely change them. For example, if you're too externally referenced, remember that's usually what people, the way they'll represent it with submodalities is somebody larger than them with no internal dialogue coming this way. If you're internally referenced, usually somebody's smaller than you and you've got internal dialogue going, I don't know, I don't think that may be the truth. And so if you take if you're too externally referenced, I've done this a lot with health people because sometimes the doctor, the nurse, or the health practitioner will inadvertently put a curse on somebody by saying the wrong thing. And if they take it in as that's the truth, you're too external, that's not a good thing. So sometimes you shrink the doctor down, make them eye level, and put a little internal dialogue in there, and you can help people be a lot more clear about the relationship. So the doctor's my consultant now, not God telling me what's going to happen to me. So those things can be important. Okay, it's convincer strategy.